What a privilege and honor it is to be with you here today. I also think it's such a privilege to work alongside Pastor Tom. And he truly has that, a shepherd's heart towards us pastors. And I'm just so thankful for he and Pam. Can I just pray for him one more time? Is that okay? All right. Lord, I just thank you for this time that we have in your word. But we also just lift up Tom and Pam to you. Lord, I would ask that you'd bless them on their time away, just that you'd give them rest and rejuvenation, Lord. Just restore them and bring them back here just full, ready to serve you continually. In Jesus' name, amen. I just have to say, I love this church because you guys have air conditioning. And I'm kind of feeling for the guys down in Skagit Valley today because it's really warm. But anyways, hopefully they're surviving. But if you have your Bibles, would you turn to Hebrews chapter 12? I'm going to read in a few moments the first four verses. But just a quick little intro here. This morning we're going to be talking about this race that's set before us. And in the book of Hebrews, you know, chapter 11, of course, is the Hall of Faith, the faith chapter. And then chapter 13 is called the hope chapter. And right in between those two is chapter 12. And it's, or chapter 13 is the love chapter. And chapter 12, right in the middle, is this hope chapter. And I think sometimes in our day and age in which we live, we need more hope, don't we? And so we're going to be talking about that today. You know, there's a lot of metaphors in the Bible. The Bible compares to the Christian life. We see soldiers in a battle. We see farmers sowing seed. We see students in school. But one of the most common metaphors that we see in the scriptures, and I think sometimes maybe probably the easiest to relate, is runners running a race. There's this race that's set before us. And I think many of us maybe have experienced running at some form or another, or racing or jogging, or, you know, we've all at one point in time maybe done some type of running. I know when I was in high school, I was a football player, and the start of season, you had to run the mile. And if you didn't run it in a certain amount of time, the first 2 weeks of practice, every day after practice, you had to run. And I didn't want to do that. So I decided about a month ahead of time, I would start running and getting in shape. And so when the time finally came, I did it. And I didn't have to run every day after practice. My family and I, we used to enter these 5K runs just to get in shape and run as a family. And our favorite one was in Bellingham, Fun with the Fuzz. Anybody ever run that one? I loved it because all the proceeds went to families to support lost loved ones in the line of duty. But here was my idea, and I've shared this with some of the organizers. They've never implemented it, but this is my thought. Is you have all the racers, the runners start, but we all wear like criminal uniforms or prison attire. And then all the cops can be in full uniform, but we get a minute head start, okay? Because in that scenario, you would run a lot faster. But they've never done it, so anyways. You know, some people are just born natural runners. They live to run. They love to run. They enjoy running. Others, they do it because they know it's good for them. And still some people would say this, if I never have to run again, I won't, right? And I think just a question I want you to think about before we get to the text this morning is, what would describe your life as a Christian runner in this race that's set before us? You know, how is the race going for you? You know, some people, they're not in the race of faith at all. They haven't started yet. They haven't received Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so they're not quite in. They haven't started the beginning yet. You know, some people are in this race and they've had so many setbacks. They've had so many disappointments and discouragements that they just quit running. You know, have you ever done that? You're running and you just start walking. And you're like, I can't handle this anymore. And I would say the Lord maybe this morning would want to speak to you, and he wants you to get back in the race today. He wants you to start running again. I think others, they're maybe not sure why they're running. You know, what are they running for? They're just maybe trudging along, but there's not a focus. There's no purpose. and maybe even others, some, they love to run, and they're running just to run. But I think the Lord would say to you that he wants to give, I believe, us a greater vision of why we are running. What's the vision? What's the goal? And so, as your pastor has you stand for the reading of the book of Hebrews, could you stand with me? I'm going to read the first four verses of Hebrews chapter 12. It simply says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin." And you may be seated. You know, this morning, again, I want us just to consider this race that is set before us. And really, how the Lord wants us to run, how he wants us to live this life. Well, what kind of race are we in? I know also when I was in high school, I did track and field. And I threw the shot put and discus. We also had this, it was called the thrower's relay. We called it the weight man's relay. It was all the big guys, the throwers. And you got, I think you sprinted like a 100-yard dash. And I liked it because you would just sprint and then you would be done. It's over. You didn't have to keep running anymore. You ran really hard, really fast. And then you got to take a break. But, you know, the Christian life, it's not a series of short sprints. It's more like a marathon, isn't it? It's this constant ups and downs, mountains and valleys. Now, there are those believers that they do live this life like a series of sprints, don't they? They run really hard for a couple weeks, and they're like, "This is too tough. I can't do it anymore." And they stop and they take a break, and some even go back to their old life. And then after a time, they're like, "You know what? I need to get back in this race again. I need to start going to church. I need to start serving the Lord again. I need to do this." And unfortunately, if that's their life, it's just marked by these constant ups and downs, and there's no consistency. As Christians, we have to understand this race is not a short series of sprints. It's more like, I think, a marathon, because it's constant. It's ongoing. It never ends. And it doesn't mean that we pace ourselves. Ever have a job and they say, "Hey, quit working so hard. You're going to make the rest of us look bad," right? It's not like that. In the analogy, I think, it's meant to communicate the seriousness of this run that we're in, that we are in it for the long haul. Now, I think that so many times I've seen it where some people begin so strong, but then they crash and burn, and they end so poorly. But it really matters most how we end, not how we start. Maybe some of us started off pretty rocky, and it was a challenge, but it's how we end. And so, you know, for long-distance runners, they run all year long, don't they? They run no matter what type of terrain they're in, what type of weather, what type of conditions. They run all season long. Doesn't it kind of bother you sometimes when you're driving in the rain and you see people running? I have this, I leave about the same time for my church every Sunday morning. There's these two ladies kind of close to the church. I see them almost every Sunday running, and it doesn't matter what the weather is like outside, they're running. I feel sorry for them sometimes, you know, but would you look again just at verse 1? It says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses." We're told here in the text that there's this great cloud of witnesses. And we have to ask ourselves, well, who are they? And I believe they're the heroes of the faith that many of you know. That in chapter 11, this great hall of faith of these people that not so much as onlookers are watching us, but examples to us. They were examples. Their lives testified this race can be lived out, that this race can be run, this race of faith. You know, they've proved by their testimony that this life of faith can be lived out, that this race is worth running. And so then we come to chapter 12 here. And we need to realize, I think, just first and foremost, again, it is a marathon race. We're in it for the long haul, day after day, night after night. We're called to live for the Lord. The second thing I want us to consider is, why are we running? What is the goal? I think some would be want to say, well, heaven is the goal. That's part of it, but no, it's I think part of it is experiencing the fullness of Christ in our Christian walk, right here, right now, experiencing all that the Lord has for us. Now we get this one life to live for Him, to serve Him, to worship Him faithfully. I love what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. He describes what this goal is. And here's what he says if you're taking notes. It's Philippians 3:7. It says, "But what things are to gain to me? These things I've counted a loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." And then verse 10, he says, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, be conformed to His death." And then verse 14, I love this. "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." I press towards the goal. You know, I think two things that mark the goal for us is that we might know Him. That we might know Him, that we lay aside all to know Him. And you know what? There is so much to know about the Lord. There's so much to know about Him. We can spend the rest of this life trying to know Him and know these things about Him as we read the Word. But that first goal is to get closer to Him, closer to Jesus, to press towards that goal, the prize of the upward call. I think He's speaking of heaven, certainly. Now understand that we're not running in order to get to heaven, but we're running for heaven. When the race is over, that's where we end up. You know, in Bible times, the Romans, they would have these races. And thousands of people would fill these coliseums that they had to watch not the beginning of the race, but the end of the race to see who won. And there the emperor would be waiting to see who would come into the coliseum. Who would be the first that He could crown them? Now, our King Jesus, He's waiting for us at the finish line. He's waiting for us and at the finish line door. He says, "Welcome. Well done, good and faithful servant." The purpose of running, I think, is to get closer to heaven and one day receive from Him, Jesus, that crown, that prize of this reward for running this life of faith. So, how are we to run? Well, I want to note a few things here. Again, in verse 1, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us." You know, one of the greatest problems that runners face is weight. Sin can hold us back, certainly, okay? But there's also things that may not be sin, but weigh us down. Every weight, it says. You know, our choices aren't always between right and wrong, are they? You know, sometimes there can be things that hinder us. Something else may not. The question is there a weight in your life? Is there something that the Lord has said, "I want you to lay this aside. I don't want this in your life." And you can imagine running a race with a backpack on. How about running a race with ski boots on? Anybody ever try that? Remember moon boots? weren't those ankle breakers? Anyways, you know, sometimes I think that maybe we've gained a little weight spiritually. And that hinders us. It keeps you from running like you used to do when you were younger in your walk with the Lord. You know, weights, I think, can be anything that in our lives that can weigh us down, that can hold us back, that impede our progress, that burden down our hearts. Again, weights are not necessarily sins. There's maybe nothing in the Bible that says you can't do this or can't have that, but they can become sin for us. You know, if they keep us from running the way God wants us to run, I think of the weight of materialism. We face that in America here. And we start adding more and more stuff, and it starts slowing us down. And our bills are high, our debt is high, or, we try to live above our more than we have, and we get stressed out and fatigued, and we find ourselves burdened down. This weight of materialism. And the question I would have for us is that, is it worth it? Is it worth it? See, there's certain things that make us sluggish in our walk. I love what T. Baker, a commentator, says. He says, "Don't you miss the days when you are freer to seek the Lord, to serve the Lord?" He says this, "Get rid of the stuff, lose the weights." I think there's a weight of conformity. It happens when you just allow things back in your life. You know, I can handle this now. I've been walking with the Lord for a while. I can handle these things. And where God has clearly shown us, we don't need these things. These things need to go. They need to be done away with. Maybe there's some things that just we allow back in our life, and it just we end up spending more time playing and less time running and pursuing. We start pursuing worldly pursuits and more than heavenly pursuits. I think there's a weight of bitterness and anger. We hold on to these attitudes, and sometimes these things can really weigh us down and it impedes our progress. We cannot, the point is, we cannot win if we're weighted down. And so we are to lay aside the weights. But also, it does say sin there too. We are to lay aside the sin, which so easily ensnares us. Ensnares us. You know, some Christians, they try to run, but they have secret sins. Nobody knows about. You know, the Bible says our sin will find us out. It'll find us out. Adultery and drugs, pornography, compromise. You see, the devil will use things like that to ensnare us, to trap us, to rip us off. He loves it when we go down that road, because we lose our joy, we lose our energy, and he traps us. But I love the solution too. We just repent. It's so easy. Repent of our sins. We lay aside our sins. We turn from our sins and we turn to the Lord. We get right with God. I encourage you this morning, you know, to consider some of the things that maybe are hindering you or entangling you, and run free with Jesus, you know. Paul, he wrote to, in 2 Timothy, he wrote about a guy named Demas, and it says Demas, he loved this world. Not only did he love the world, he said he deserted me. You know, and sometimes I think about how sad it is. Here's this man, Demas, who started off so well with Paul, and he deserted him. He not only deserted him, but he loved the world. He finished great, but he ended poorly. We don't want to be like that. We are to lay aside the weight and the sin. Verse 1, continuing at the end there, it says again, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us." You know, that word endurance, it speaks of determination. It's a word that tells us we got to keep going. We can't stop. It means that when everything and everyone is telling you to slow down or to give up, you keep going. That's endurance. I used to work at this little Bible camp by Mount Rainier, and I had this favorite little hike. And I would drive up these logging roads, and it was called Dollar Lake, and it was in the national park, and. The cool thing about the hike is it was really short, but it was really steep. And so you'd hike up there, and it was really steep, and you'd be tired, and you get to this beautiful, pristine lake. It was kind of in the shape of a silver dollar, so they called it Dollar Lake. And people would stop and enjoy it and say, I did it. I made it to this lake. But what they didn't know is if you just walked a little bit around the halfway around the lake and then went straight up this, you know, somewhat of a cliff area, you would see at the top of that the most beautiful view of Mount Rainier you've ever seen. I mean, it's just right there. And I saw so many people, they would quit, they would turn around, and they'd say, good enough. But if they would have just went a little farther, like literally like 20 more minutes, they would have seen the most incredible view. And I think about the Christian life, I think, you know, it's filled with, of course, these mountaintops and these valleys. And you go from one to the other, and sometimes doesn't it seem like the valleys seem so long? Everything in us wants to say, good enough. You know, far enough. Everything in us wants to stop. But we are to run with endurance. We are to keep going. You know, many of these Hebrew Christians whom this letter was written to, they started off really well. They're excited about their faith in Jesus. Of course, they were these Jewish Christians, and they had seen these signs and wonders, and they were thrilled about their new lives in the Lord. And then what happened is this newness began to wear off, and the problems started to develop. You know, Hebrews is a book of warnings. You know, don't drift away, so on and so forth. It was this warning to these Hebrew Christians because they were going to go back to Judaism. And they began to lose their enthusiasm. They began to lose their confidence. They began to backslide. And I've seen this happen time and time again. People start off again so well, but then they crash and burn. I think even in the Christian church today, there's a lack of endurance. Because, again, people quit too soon. They quit too soon. But we are called to run with endurance. To lay aside every weight. To lay aside the sin. And we are to run with our eyes on the goal. Look at verse 2. What is the goal? It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus. Do you ever watch little kids run? Little guys? Notice kids, when they run, they always have a smile on their face. They just love running. I remember telling my kids, hey, let's time you. Let's go out and do this. I need you to do this little errand for me and run out there and run back. I'm going to time you. You know, but you're really just having them do something for you. But they just have a smile on their face. They love running. And they don't always run straight. You know, the little guys are running. But they always have a smile. They don't think like, gosh, I don't know if I can run that far. All right, they don't think, wow, it's, you know, I don't have my running shoes on. No, they just run, and they're happy to do it. If they're ever in like a little race for kids or some kind of competition, they sometimes get preoccupied with themselves. You know, they're preoccupied with everybody else around them. Who's running around me? Who's in front of me? Who's behind me? Who's watching me? Where's mom and dad? And I think children of God can be the same way. You know, there's those that sometimes we're preoccupied with ourselves. You know, am I running okay? Are my feet landing in the right spot, in the right place? And as Christians, sometimes we can be so self-consumed with ourselves. And we're wondering how we're doing. We're so concerned about it. Because of that, there's no progress. Others, sometimes we can be preoccupied with how everyone else is running, and we're looking at them, and we're not really concentrated on ourselves and our own walk with the Lord. And can you believe what so-and-so did? Listen, I think we have to worry about no one else's race except our own. How we're walking with the Lord. Others can be preoccupied in the stands, who's watching them, you know, and they look around, you know, with their, when they're with their Christian brothers and sisters, you know, they want to perform really well, but then when they're with their unsaved friends, they kind of tone it down a little. But understand this, it's Jesus who's watching. He's the goal. Jesus is the goal. He's the one watching us. My wife, Lisa, we used to go to Calvary Chapel, Oak Harbor, before we got sent out to go start the Calvary in Skagit Valley. And one day she came home from church. She said, man, I walked by the side of the church, and I saw so many weeds. She said, I think I'm going to go down there and weed the church, you know, and I'm the only one who knew about it, but I said, yeah, you should go down there, you know, but the Lord put it on her heart just to go to this simple thing that no one else was going to see, that no one was there, no one knew what she was doing. I think there's this temptation sometimes that we have to tell everyone, look what I did. Look how great I am. But no, we are to run looking unto Jesus. Not what man thinks, but what the Lord thinks. You know, that Greek word there in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the word for looking is a much fuller word than we have in our English language. Listen to what it means, looking. It means to turn the look away from everything else. To turn the look away from everything else. To not look at anything else but Jesus is essentially what it's saying. To not look at anything else except Jesus. I'm not looking at myself. I'm not looking at other runners. I'm not looking at the stands. I'm not looking at the weights and the sins that I've laid aside. I'm not even looking at the difficulty of the course. Don't we do that sometimes? We say, there's no way I can do this. It's impossible. Now, we're called to look at nothing, to look off from everything that we've ever relied upon, and run looking unto Jesus. That's our call. Well, it helps us too, because the text continues in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So first we are to look to Jesus, because he's the author of our faith. He's the starter of our faith. It began with him. And you have to see Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You can't even begin this race heavenward until you see that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. That sin separates. That sin leaves us doomed. And for anyone who accepts Christ, that's where the race, the start begins. This is where it all begins. He's the author of our faith. Nothing you can do to earn it. It's a gift from God. It's obtained through faith. But secondly, we must look to Jesus because he's the finisher of our faith. Not one of us here today who's born again Christian can take any credit for our salvation. Right? And Philippians 1:6 says that he who began a good work in you will finish it. Right? And when this race is over, Jesus will appear as the finisher of our faith. And he's going to come forward and crown you. You know, when Jesus, when he cried from the cross, remember he said, it is finished. It is finished. It wasn't a cry of defeat. It wasn't a cry of frustration. It was a cry of victory. It is finished. Cross the finish line. It's finished. I'm done. He had accomplished the mission. He had finished the course. And we're called to follow in his footsteps to finish. I just want more than anything, I want Christians to finish strong. I do. I think that we live in this world that is uncertain. We don't know what tomorrow holds. there's a lot of uncertainty in this world. We don't know where or how or what's going to happen. I think of some of the craziest things happening in the Middle East. We have this war between China and Taiwan. We have the Ukraine, the Russian. We have Hamas shooting rockets into Israel. I mean, we have these things, you know. And in our own society, we have so much going on, this turmoil. We don't... Anyways, I could just go on. That's another sermon. But I want you to consider this as I close, okay? I think there's a couple areas in this race we're in again. You know, I think for some, I ask you, are you in the race? And if you're not, start today. Put your faith in Christ. Repent of your sins. Turn to Him. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and begin this race. It's not easy, but it's worth it. Maybe some of you are here again this morning, you've given up and you recognize what Jesus did for you. And guys, what He's still doing. God is still doing a work. But maybe He's calling you to get back into the race. And guess what? You have to allow Him to help you. You can't do it in your own power. Maybe you're kind of trudging along in agony. You ever see those guys? They're almost done with the race, but their legs and their arms are cramping up, and they can't. It's hard for them to finish. They don't know if they're going to finish. Maybe that's some of you. They began so well. They're almost to the finish line. But remember, maybe you need to remember your motive. It's to know Him. It's to run with heaven in view. To have that eternal perspective. Maybe some of you are just running to run. But you know what? We need to start running to win. To glorify God with each step. To influence those around you. That's what He wants for us. So won't we pray? Lord, I thank You for this text. I want to encourage each and every person here this morning. Lord, as we all think about this race that we're in, of faith. And I know we're at different areas in our walk with You, Lord, but I pray that we could once again put our eyes, our focus on You, Lord, this morning. I pray, Lord Jesus, that You would come and that You would speak to our hearts, that You would draw us near to You. Maybe there's something You want to convict our hearts with, Lord, this morning. But all said, Lord, we love You. We want to one day hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. We want to lay our crowns at Your feet, Lord. Help us, Lord, finish this race well. Help us live for You. Lord, for those maybe in here this morning, I pray that if there is a sin or a weight that they need to lay aside, we pray, Lord, that they would hear from You, Lord, that all of us, Lord, we would consider if there's anything in our hearts, if there's anything in our lives that we need to lay aside that is hindering us from You, Lord, I pray that You would help us do that. I just thank You for the privilege and honor it is to be here this morning with the church. And I just thank You for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.